Thank you very much. You're very optimistic regarding me. Thank you so much for everything. This little thing, I've never listened to it myself, but this was brought at this special occasion that we had just before I left from an English, the president of our board in England. And they had this from years ago. And I'm talking on this, and if you have an electric machine, I have a few more of these, that you can take them off my hands. So that's what that. You know, I wanted to get this book because a foreword was by Dr. McQuilkin. He came out at one of our conferences. Oh, it was so wonderful to have him. Now, I don't want to, when I'm talking about Dr. McQuilkin, to belittle this McQuilkin, but I don't know him that well, you see. I haven't worked under him. But I lived right in the home of Dr. McQuilkin, and I saw him under all those kinds of conditions, and I never will forget it. Here it was. He wanted this baby son, as I told you the other day. And there he was. That night, oh, the very glory of God was in that home because he was trusting in God and said, with God, God makes there are no accidents. With God, there are no accidents. And so that was the way it was. And that night, oh, how the Lord was with us. Imagine that one son that they'd waited for, and they'd already lost one in early childhood, about 2 years of age. And here he was. And now there's the answer. God brought him into the world. And that's wonderful. Gospel recordings. This was about 10 years, I guess, after we started, that he wrote this. Gospel recordings is a synonym of gospel miracles. A young missionary, too ill to return to her field in Latin America, had a call from God to send out some gospel records in Spanish, which might be used in places where missionaries could not go or could not stay. Now, these gospel records are pouring out at a rate that will soon reach, and this was many, many years ago, soon reach 500,000. And they are going out now in 400 languages. Now it's 4,000 languages. A little different, isn't it? George Mueller said that the one purpose of establishing his orphanages was to show the Christian world that God is a living God and does hear and answer prayer. It's one of the reasons that we never make known a need. You know, there's some right now that are trying to get us change that. Will you pray with me that they won't, that influence in other branches will not go through? Please pray about it, because people don't understand this. But God, 40 years is a pretty long time to test it, isn't it? Gospel recordings has had an unbroken pathway. I'm sure in America there's none of that in most countries, but there is just one place where there's this pull at this time. Not from the heads either, comes from other sources, which has stimulated the faith of thousands as well as reaching hundreds of thousands who are hearing the gospel for the very first time through these records. My stay of several weeks in the headquarters of Gospel Recordings gave me a glimpse of prayer and faith and the New Testament living and victorious fellowship that I have not seen in any other place. There are now 31 full-time workers who from the beginning have served without any salary or any allowance and have trusted the Lord for their board as well as their other expenses. The story of what God has done, and he mentions my name, and Ann Sherwood in Latin America and Alaska and in the Philippines is breathtaking. They have gone through experiences that hardy pioneers might shrink from. But it has all been so simple, just day by day, trusting the Lord for little miracles and great miracles. This book records but a part written by one of the staff called of God. This was written by Santa Barlow. I want Mrs. Barlow to stand a minute, will you? She has been a prayer warrior for us all these years. And believe me, when her daughter was going to go to these different fields, or she didn't put any stop on it at all. She just stood by and prayed. And I just want you to know her in that respect. This book records but a part written by one of the staff called of God in a special way to this work and war of faith. It was Santa who wrote this book. This was one place she didn't go with us. It was just Ann and I that went over to the Philippines for that year, or a little over a year, and came back with 92 languages recorded. Gospel recordings is a synonym for gospel rejoicing. Many Christian groups preach victory. In the gospel recordings headquarters, they literally obey the command, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. With them, everything means just that. Dr. Wilbur M. Smith, in speaking of this book, said, "This group is doing one of the best pieces of Christian work in the Western world today. Of that, there is no doubt. Every Christian leader who has been in touch with this work has borne the same testimony. Gospel recordings is one of the new methods that God is using in the final great push to complete the Great Commission and get the gospel to every tribe and tongue on earth." I want you to know that the coming in of this new player that they say you're going to have a part in sending out to places. Now, some places we may charge half price if they can do it, because we want people in field to do it, but then that'll mean we can get it to more. But we will give them absolutely free where it's the right thing to do, because we don't want to do anything that's going to pull down their ability to do part of it. But there will be many, many areas, and plenty for the number you're sending, where they have nothing at all. They wouldn't have anything to buy it with. And yet what it'll mean to them to have that and listen to it clearly, clearly, because our records are good and they're clear, and they speak the things that these people need. And so I really do thank you. I heard of one case this morning which about overthrew me, and I didn't expect, but anyway, the Lord's doing great things. I just want to read a few more of these, that how these are being used. This is West Africa. "Right now, I have about 20 boys on our veranda listening to the gospel records. They sing along and enjoy it very much. Then in the background, my houseboy repeats all the speaker says and is blessed by it. So we again are so thankful for your help and do indeed praise him for these records and players. Just 10 days ago, a young man from a village about 30 miles out of here, he had accepted the Lord through the phonette his friend had from us. But then he came here with his friend to be sure of his decision and desire for Christ and to get literature. Praise the Lord. Two blind men, each from a different village, way, way out in the bush, went home with a phonette and some records. It will be difficult for us to go visit them, but we still hope that one of our pastors will go and see both of them in the dry season. Through the Holy Spirit," this is the West Cameroons, I guess it is, "through the Holy Spirit and the support of our Lord Jesus Christ, your records have brought deep conviction in the hearts of the unbelievers of this area. I did not know that person staying can stay in America and at the same time preach in the Cameroons. I am thankful unto you because you are preaching through the records in Cameroon here. For my one-time playing of the records, not only the Membe boys and their families were converted, but many. Now I have 12 candidates who are looking forward for baptism. Each of them, when coming to me, would say, 'Pastor, because of the records that I have heard, I've realized that God is, I want to be baptized.' That was for the first time that I played the record." I think it's helpful to you to know that these things are happening. See, I picked out just very few, but the time's going so fast, I don't know that I had better read any more just now. But anyway, I have a whole stack if you're interested. I thought you'd be interested in seeing. I sent home for this, so we'd have this language list. Now, in many of these places, you'll see words that sound, they look like they're the same language, but they're not. They're dialects, and it's very important to do it in each separate dialect. For one thing, would you like us to do a gospel message where there'd be three or four bad mistakes in it? Well, that's the way it would be if you didn't do it in their own dialect. Just be bad mistakes, because those separations came years ago, and they've substituted for other things. And sometime when we were going to play a record for a fellow out in Africa someplace, and it wasn't his dialect, he could have understood a lot of it. No, he says, you play it in ours, or I know listen. You play it in ours, or I know listen. And you can see that, because they've had their feuds, they've had their wars, and then to take it as if it were from them. But this has not all of the nearly about 4,000. I don't think it's quite up to 4,000, but it's so close that we are saying 4,000, because every day some recording is being made. And so this goes. There's one country that we don't put in at all, and that's a country that's taboo. And if we had it in there, we'd be in terrible trouble. But we got the records anyway. And that was, now, some of you have got this, pick one up. And if there aren't enough to go around, we have about 50, I believe, 40 or 50, we can get some more. These are printed in our own printing press, so they don't cost us hardly anything, and we'd like you to have it. It's nothing about gospel recordings. It's just about rejoicing and something to bless your heart as you listen to it. And so now I want to turn a little bit, go back to, there's just a couple of verses I want to, because these verses in the Bible that give assurance, you live by them. You live by them. You count on them. When you're out in situations like we've been through the years, you count on the Word of God. You have to have something, or else you couldn't go out and do the things and go the places, because we don't know. We don't know. And over again, if you read through our many books now, Mountain Singing was done by Santa Morrison Barlow, and she's written other books that have been a great blessing to us, and we've been so grateful for them. And so these things are God's doing. We want people to glorify Him. We want them to know Him because of what He does. We don't think every mission to go this way. We don't criticize any other mission for the way God has led them. But I hope you will pray that gospel recordings will never move out of this, because we do have sometimes elements that come that try to work this way. Not in the United States, but we have had it happen. And I would appreciate your praying for this, because God has been with us. Surely there are times when things heap up and it just looks like we're just gonna be almost turned out. But God comes to the rescue, and He's done it over and over again. Now, I think I left you down, way down in Mexico. I don't think I got home, had I? I hadn't got home. He's the one that gets me if I repeat something, so I have to watch myself. And so I checked with his daughter this morning, and she understood. She remembered everything, so she helped me. And so, anyway, we went down and we worked in Mexico, and Wycliffe translators were so anxious. They were willing to bring them way to the United States if we could only make the records. And you know, one set of records that we made at that time, the Celtal, thousands have come. I think I mentioned that too. And right recently they said, send us the first record you made, because They had such an impact with the people. They told me years ago, every time they'd ask anybody how they got saved, they'd say, "Oh, I listened to a record and I got saved." I said, over and over again, that was what they said. I listened to a record and that's how I got saved. And now we're going to do the first set and send it to them because they feel it'll have a great, it'll be great. Now this says in Philippians, the fourth chapter in the sixth verse, be careful, be anxious for nothing, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Isn't that a great verse? With thanksgiving, with the knowledge, the belief that God is going to do it. And remember, there are times when he lets you go and go and go and go, and you think, has he forsaken us? Has he forsaken us? Ah, no, he doesn't. And later on, we see that all of these things, you know, when you have things that you don't like, would you just remember this? God is going to work all those hard things. Yes, I don't care how hard they are, for your good. For your good, for your blessing. I look back, oh, it was a terrible, terrible break for me to have to leave the mission field. I saw souls saved. While I was up there and I went through two revolutions, I had a priest that was, he was going to kill me or know the reason why. And he tried again and again to take my life. And he had every reason because they were all Roman Catholics, but they never got anything from him at all. He was a very wicked man, a very wicked man. But we didn't hate him. Oh, we didn't hate him. God used even him. God used even him because people could see how terrible he was, even those people that were. One day when we were in an open air service, as we had every Sunday, and there he was. He came from across that little narrow street, and there was a market below, and he came over and he grabbed Don Pedro because he was one of the new Christians. Don Pedro came to know the Lord having been a murderer, had been a man that had children with many, many women. And he came to the Lord, and I knew him for years, and I never saw one single thing I could criticize in his life. He just was a full of the Lord, and he served him, and he witnessed for him. He would have given his life. And when a revolution came along, of course, everybody has to run out because they don't care who it is. They just simply will kill. They don't come in as a regular revolution. They come in so they can go into the stores and steal everything out of it and gag the person that's in charge and kill them sometimes. And so that's what revolutions were. And they had had revolutions on an average of every 2 years through all their history. And they hadn't had one yet until this first one came. And then 2 years afterward, there was another. And when the third one was announced, oh, I said, Lord, we can't have a third one. We can't have a third one because, oh, how it upsets. The men have to run. They're either going to take part and fight and kill people and steal, or else they have to run to some other part of the country. And many who were converted had to leave the place and go down to other parts of Honduras that these hadn't come to. But you know, I've been the scaredy cat of my family. I'm a scaredy cat. I am. Are you a scaredy cat? Well, better not admit it. But I was. I was a scaredy cat. And my family, well, what could Joy do? Oh, yes, Amy, yes, she'd do fine. And Rosa and Susan, they'd do fine. But what could Joy ever do? See, they liked me very well when I was little. I was cute when I was little. Cute and fat. Real fat and cute. And they played with me and they spoiled me. And then they blamed me for it. And they blamed me for it. And so what could Joy do? And that got in my mind, too. I thought, well, what could I ever do? I just couldn't, that's all. But anyway, I could trust the Lord. And you know, we can all do that. Did you know that? We can all trust the Lord. And when things come into your life that you could criticize, and people do this and they do that, praise the Lord and thank Him. He's going to work it together for good. Trust Him. You know, the terrible thing is, when there were revolutions, they all brought all their children for us to look after. Some that never came to church, but they were sure they'd be safe at our place. Imagine, with me protecting them. And so there they were. We had no thing. They just came and pushed them in the door and shut the door, and there it was. Oh, I remember one time when this great big gang came, and they were coming to ruin those girls. They were going to ruin those girls, and they were on the door, and all those soldiers that were wicked men were going to open that door. They were going to knock it down if I didn't open it up. What would I do? There wasn't a man in the place with us right then. But I had a girl that had been a toughie before she was saved. A real, real toughie. And she wasn't afraid of anything. Wasn't that good that God had someone like that with me? She really was. She said to me, "Abre la puerta, abre la puerta, open that door, and let you out before that gang of men that will just take you and kill you. Abre la puerta, ahorita, ahora, right away, open it." And so I had to open it, because I couldn't risk their breaking down the door and coming in and killing those children or doing worse than that in some ways. And so she went right through. She says, "Donde está su general? Where's your general? Where's your general?" And it scared them. "Where's your general?" Well, we didn't know who their general was, because, and when she went down to the plaza, what do you know? The general was a man that lived next door to us. But do you know why we never got acquainted with him? He was always, always drunk. Always drunk. And he'd ride along in a horse that knew how to take care of him. And so he'd always ride in that horse. But we didn't want him to even know us, or we didn't want to know him in any way, because he would have driven that horse right into our... And we found he was the next door across the little street or path. It was a street, narrow street. That's where he lived. But we never saw him except when he was drunk like that. And God kept him from hurting us. And when he was sober, he was a decent man. He was. And he came up and he called those men out. And they didn't come in. Because that was God taking care of us. And then it wasn't long after that, just a couple of weeks after that. And Don Pedro is the one I said that I never could find any fault with him. And when the war was on, he had been a political man. Why, of course they would kill him. Of course they would do everything. But I'm not going to leave the señorita. I'm not going. And even though he knew they probably would kill him, he came every night, and we still had our meetings. And we had a lamp. And he always got that lamp going. I never did learn how to do that lamp. I wouldn't have had any light if he hadn't done it. And so he'd come walking right through the lines, right through the lines. That was his faith. It was tremendous, if you only knew, because he had been a political man and was known that way. And so he came, and so this day, though, the revolution was over, and God answered prayer. There weren't too many that were killed right in our area. In other areas, many were killed, where there was a man missionary up in some of those places. Oh, that was just horror. It was horror. And so here we were, and there was a revolution. It was over for the time being. They had in their history, as I just told you, one on an average of every 2 years. And so we went to a prayer meeting at one of the other houses, and there was Don Pedro. And I said, "Don Pedro, we just got word, because one of the girls that was converted there, her brother-in-law was the one that, when that party was in power, always represented Honduras in Washington, D.C. And he called up and he said, "Get out, get out. Another revolution is starting," because it was his own party. He knew it was. "And they're at the border of El Salvador and Honduras. And go, go." Well, if we couldn't go. But if it hadn't been for Don Pedro's faith, I don't know what we would have done. I said, Don Pedro, there's going to be another revolution. That was just months since the last one. And he looked up, he says, it can't be. It cannot be. No puede ser, no puede ser, no podemos. And there he stood. And do you know, to this day, there hasn't been a revolution? And that's many, many years ago. And he's been faithful. He's a pastor now in one of the places. And you say, here was a girl up there. I had to be the pastor in those days. Well, that's terrible. But all the men that were saved, we don't have any girls that have become pastors, but we have a number that are pastors now in different places. And you know, I wanted to go back and visit them when we went down, like I told you yesterday about going to Mexico. And then we came to Central America. And we weren't planning to record in Central America. We didn't plan to. I had promised them I would come back sometime, and I had to go. It was 8 years since I had to leave because of illness. And I came over to Guatemala. First thing I took, after a few days, I took very sick again. I think it's good I did. Maybe I would have stayed in Honduras if I hadn't. I was sick in bed. I was very sick, but there was a nurse there that treated me. But when we first came into that place in Guatemala, here we were, and we were going to make records. And now I've lost my train of thought, but it'll come. And we came there, and we were told, just a minute. Praise the Lord. Rejoice. Rejoice. The Lord is with me. And what did I just say? What did I just get through with?
You were sick when you
first got there. Yes, I was sick. And we had promised my people in Honduras. My children, they were like, you know what it is to have children, some of you, don't you? Well, these were my children in the faith. Some of them weren't. Some of them were saved in other places, but many of them were my children, and I was going to go over there to them. But the Lord touched me and helped me. We had good nurses there, and they were able to enable me. And I'm glad I got sick. I might have been tempted to just stay all the time there, and gospel recordings would never be. And so God raised me up, but he wanted to warn me. Now listen, Joy, you know that you can't stay there. And so I got up there, and I had to go by muleback even then, 8 years later. By muleback. I never was a good muleback rider. I never was. And they were always saying, make it go faster. I didn't want it to go any faster. Because you look down at these way, way down, and how did you know that they were going to step in the right place? Because there were little narrow things. One time it did turn me right over, but fortunately turned me the right way, so I fell off. But anyway, we had to go that way. That's the way we travel. And so I came up there, and what do you think I saw? All these people standing out in front of the little mission center there, just standing out waiting until I came. Oh, what a welcome they gave. How precious it was. How hard it was to leave them. But oh, friends, there's nothing like getting the gospel out. And God is working. He's working. And now we're thinking today. Will you think today with me of those areas of the world that we could reach if we just had some young men that could go out for a few years? Young men, but they won't do it. They won't do it. The first thing, even before they get out of college, they're married. And then they could do it too with a wife, but then the babies come. And so there it is. We had a couple recently that came to us that were going to be field recorders to go out and get tribal people in another country. And in a short time, she found she was pregnant. Well, what do we do in cases like that? Now you tell me. Rejoice. Rejoice. Oh, here's some we thought were going to go out and make records in those languages, and now they're going to have a baby. Well, rejoice. So we did. And that's the way it goes. So anyway, you pray that God will send us some young men, they can be married. We had one couple in Pakistan, and they were there for 1.5 years. They're back in Australia now, having some meetings. They passed by Los Angeles just before I came. And she could go with him most every place. And then when she couldn't, she'd go and find a way that she could serve the people in a hospital or some other way while he was gone. And so it worked out beautifully. And they got the languages of Pakistan way through. And it's past my time, and I haven't begun yet, so that's good. I have something to tell you tomorrow.
Let's pray for those men. Father in heaven, when we consider this little woman that you've used, and the men won't go, we ask, Lord, that you will hear the prayer of her heart, and we join her in it, and ask for young men and young women,
yes,
and young couples, but young men, Lord, who will pay the price, who will fill up the suffering what you're lacking, to see that this redemption is provided. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We always send those that are going to make records. We send them to Wycliffe for their training, although they don't do the writing part of it. But these have had their training.
Yeah. Those of you who are new...